Elements.
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 Hello, everyone. I'm Deborah Miranda, and you're listening to Elements Podcast. Swine flu, H1N1, Mexico, pandemic influenza. In 2009, these words dominated the headlines worldwide. Thousands of people have caught the virus and hundreds have died. Today, the pandemic isn't considered active and people tend to forget about it. Are you still washing your hands 20 times a day? Probably not, but maybe you should, because a new study has shown that the virus could come back in a more dangerous form. According to the World Health Organization, there was a mutation of the virus in 2 out of every 100 infected people. I spoke to Professor Tan Fazi from the Imperial College London, who led the study about the dangers of the mutation.
As you probably know, the virus tends to mutate. It's a very changeable virus, and it is distinctly possible that it has actually changed in the infected patient. Now, when we look at these mutants from these fatal cases, this tendency to bind to the 2-3 is substantially enhanced. And that means that there has a greater predilection to go to the lung.
And that depends on the person?
That depends, actually, not so much on the person, because these structures are very common in everybody. It depends on the cell. It depends on where this particular sequence is. The 2-6, which the seasonal virus binds to, the 2-6 receptors are found in the nose, in the throat.
Does it have anything to do with patients at risk?
No, these are things that are present in everybody. Okay? The 2-3, this other kind of receptor, is very well known to reside deep in the lung.
In other words, the so-called seasonal flu virus attaches to receptors that are found in our throat and nose, whereas the swine flu virus is much more attracted to receptors in the lungs. As if the problem wasn't bad enough, the researchers have found that a mutation of the virus makes it attach to other receptors, the ciliated cells. These cells look like a broom. The bristles have the function of brushing up the dust and bacteria all the way up to our mouth and nose so we can dispose of them, for example, by coughing. They are like cleaners in our body. You can now predict the danger. This new variant infects the ciliated cells, the cleaners become ill, and so cannot clean anything. This means that the virus hangs around, having a greater chance of going down to the lungs. Professor Tazi explains that the consequences for the lungs are not only the viral or the bacterial pneumonia caused by the H1N1 as we first knew it,
but also a greater predisposition to severe infection, severe consequences, because the normal clearance activity of these cells is damaged.
The authors of this study believe that monitoring the progress of the virus is essential and that the surveillance of the World Health Organization is absolutely justified.
When we know what happened in Mexico, there was a very rapid spread, a lot of fatalities. And indeed, in the United States and in this country too, as you know, there were some fatalities, and of particularly unexpected, of young babies and of children and of healthy people, apart from people who had predisposing conditions.
Therefore, if we have a more immune population reached through vaccination, the virus becomes less able to infect. Professor Tazi's advice is that vulnerable individuals, such as hospital workers, the elderly, and those who are offered the vaccine, should take it, even if they think that it's all a bit of an overreaction to the pandemic.
A lot of people, including some scientists not in the field, may be thinking that this is not scaremongering, but exaggeration. But when what happened in 2009 did happen, I think that a lot of people realize that this virus can suddenly change. This virus can develop new properties. We have to be prepared, because it's impossible to predict